This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Vernon Verno joins us here on the Jocks Roundtable.
I've got to take this thing to a level that has never been accomplished before.
You got to get off Nick Saban's job.
The only black leprechaun I ever saw in my life. Anybody that's got little in front of their name and is a midget wrestler, I love them. I'm a hermit.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
And Verno joins us every single Friday from the Ringer. Oh, boy, we're very close to that Ringer U podcast with college football in it. Does a great job of the NBA podcast as well. And a lifer Cowboys fan. Verno, what's up, buddy?
Yo.
Did you stay up and watch your Cowboys last night? Dak took them right down the field to start the game.
I watched it.
Made it to halftime.
Yeah, I watched after Dak and one run for Jimmy G. But, boy, Dak looked good, man. 3-of-3 on that first drive.
I made it to halftime, and then about because by halftime I didn't know anybody left.
Yeah, no, that's what you find. I never even heard of this guy.
Yeah, we call that the wide receivers for the Cowboys, right?
Yes.
Hey, I was like, well, the guy that caught the first touchdown was in Gallup. I was like, who is that?
He's Dez Light.
That shows how much I've been keeping up, right? I was like, I thought we got Allen Hurns.
Hey, I'm fired up.
So, Verno, when you look at Cleveland's situation, both Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield look really good. If you're Hugh Jackson, we got into this early in the show. What do you do in this situation? He's 1-31 as a head coach in 2 years. More than likely, Tyrod Taylor, just based on experience, would win you a couple of games more, but you know the future is Baker Mayfield. Who do you think starts week one, and what direction would you go?
Well, if I'm Hugh Jackson, I probably do whatever's the most illogical thing. I feel bad for the losses that he's had recently, but if we're just separating what I feel about him personally and how affecting that show was the other night to how he has coached, it's been a debacle, especially quarterback-wise. I mean, how many times did you see last year? He had a rookie, and he played him, and then he pulled him, and then he played him, and then he pulled him, and then he played him, and then he pulled him. So he mishandled that situation so poorly with Kaiser, and then they moved him, that now, obviously, this is much more of a no-brainer than Kaiser was. But he has not shown a propensity for patience with these guys, right? So I think the worst thing you can do, if you go with Mayfield, you have to give him the rope. You have to just decide, I'm sticking with him, and I'm letting him play through the mistakes no matter what. We are using this year every mistake he makes as a step in development. But what you cannot do, the absolute worst thing in my mind to do, would be to put Mayfield in, and he inevitably makes the mistakes that a rookie quarterback makes. When you lose a game because you started Baker Mayfield, because that happens with literally the greatest guys that have ever played, were not good their rookie years in many cases. And so you let him play through those mistakes and you chalk it up to development, because in my mind, there's nothing worse than putting him out there. He inevitably makes the mistakes, and then you pull him for the veteran, and you run the risk of not only losing confidence from him, but also the rest of your team and how you handle the situation, and you build resent with him. And you're right. If you're going to go with the veteran, go with the veteran. And then when it's tied, and if you give up on Tyrod, if it's not going the way you want it to, then from then on, you commit to Mayfield. But either way, my thing is you just have to commit wholeheartedly to one guy, and that just be it.
I'm not sure the city of Cleveland deserves a winner anymore. I don't know if you saw the newspaper yesterday when the schedule came out, the plane dealer there. It has Lonzo Ball and Lakers at the queue on November 21 as the headline. And then the subheadline says, former Cav James also expected to play.
That's funny.
Oh, wow.
How disrespectful is that?
That's funny.
You think it's funny, or was that disrespectful?
No, hysterical, right?
Yes.
Come on now. I mean, we've got to be able to have some humor in this.
Yeah. My favorite part is expected to play. That is terrific.
To play.
Yes. Of course, he gave them all 82 in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all have heard about how newspapers are doing, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I would do anything I could to be entertaining.
Yeah, if I'm LeBron, I tweet back and say Cleveland Plain Dealer expected to still be in business for this game.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, at this point, right, like there, that is – you just mentioned their newspaper, which is about as good as they could have asked for, right?
Yes.
When was the last time somebody quoted a newspaper? You know, it's tough business right now.
I don't know if you were even aware of the fact that Nick Saban has an all-access show. Our buddy Bo Mattingly is doing it. He did the Brett Bielema, and it aired last night on ESPN. I'm certain you probably did not watch it. It was on ESPN2.
I saw a tweet about it, and I actually jotted down that I need to go check it out. I heard it was good.
It was good, you know, and I think it's only going to get better. I think this was just kind of laying the groundwork for the series, however short the run is. But my point is this.
Bielema was such a good personality.
Yeah.
That. I mean, he's built for that. He's built for a reality show.
And I think most people would have thought Saban would be against this. But now that he's done it, and I would assume Bo is going to continue to do these, and we know for a fact he was shot down by a prominent college football coach right now. But once Saban has done it, and Alabama, if they do indeed come off continuing to look good, don't you think every coach in America would be lined up to do this now?
Oh, I mean, that's the big fish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know. When I first started, I recall years ago when I was in radio, same kind of philosophy. When I was selling a show that we were doing, and I went out and I tried to get, like, three of the most prominent names in town, right? Because I just knew if I got those, then who are these other smaller companies that are to say no to me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, like, what? Like, they spend money with me, so don't you, right? It was like brands that everybody looked up to, right? And so if you got those, then the rest kind of fall in line. And you're absolutely right. I mean, who are you to say no if Nick Saban's willing to do it? Now, I will say this. I guarantee you Saban's got crazy control over that thing.
Sure, yeah.
There's no way around it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it does become, right? I mean, it can work as almost like a PR arm. Same way that the Calipari 30 for 30 did, and the same way that, right, most of these coaches, the deal of getting them is that they're going to make sure that they don't come off poorly in this deal. So you're at a zero-risk proposition when you get to control content.
What do you think happens more? We didn't ask you about Saban's contract when he signed it a few weeks ago, that he actually lives out that contract, stays at Alabama for 8 more years, or – Bill Snyder just signed a extension through 2022, which would put him at 83 by the end of the contract. A better chance of happening, Snyder makes it to 2022 or Saban makes it to 2025.
It's kind of morbid, but Saban. I mean, it's an age thing.
Yeah, that's what people were saying yesterday. Did they include a burial plot as an incentive in the contract?
Oh, my gosh.
No, that was very popular on social media.
Was that in The Plain Dealer? That's a step over.
Yeah, it's a headline in The Plain Dealer.
What's the oldest anybody's been on a sideline?
84 years old, Joe Paterno, when he was fired in 2011.
Yeah, but he was a figurehead.
Yeah, he was out of it. He was just staring at space.
Yeah.
84?
Yeah, but I mean, he probably didn't coach the last 5-6 years of his career there.
But I mean, Bill Snyder looks every bit of 83.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I mean, that would be pretty outstanding if he could make it. If he could make it to the end of that contract, that would be unbelievable.
But I think it's the best option for K-State because I just don't think everybody says Venables after him, and maybe if you can get Venables, you've done well. But I just don't know that's that attractive a job. If Bill Snyder walks away or passes away today, I don't know what kind of coach they get. I think that's their best option, even at that accelerated age.
You get somebody on the way up.
Yeah, but that's a roll of the dice, Verno.
I mean, obviously, the last time around it worked out extremely poorly when Snyder walked away. But you attempt to get coordinator from the big school, right? You do the Scott Frost thing like UCF did. You try to get somebody on the way up, or you catch somebody like disgraced, right? Or somebody on the that has been highly touted, has gotten big jobs, and is now on the way down. The same way South Carolina went and got Will Muschamp,
right?
Which I think now, even if people raised an eyebrow to it, at least for this upcoming season, just looking at their projections, I mean, I think that you would have to say South Carolina did right by hiring Will Muschamp. And so that's kind of how you pull it off, right? If you're K-State, in the case that that job comes open, those are really your options. Same way Colorado State had that run with McElwain, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then he gets the Florida job, and then he flames out. And so I just read the other day he's like the wide receivers coach at Michigan.
Helping with the offense, the play calling.
I am shocked that he took that gig. Don't you think somebody would hire him as another offensive coordinator?
That's what we said when it happened. We would have thought so, yeah. But
him and Pep Hamilton seem to be sharing the role of that offense, so Pep will be game play caller on game day.
Yeah, and there's a good chance, Bruno, with Shea Patterson now, that offense, only 25 points a game last year, probably jumps up to 35-plus, and he probably gets a gig next year.
As somebody that picked Michigan over and over last year, there has never been a team that played between the 30s and 20s like that. They averaged 25. I swear to God, they could average 40. They never got points. Like, they would get to the red zone all the time and never get points. They drove me insane last year. Absolutely insane. They would get down there, and then they would, right, they would be at the 17-yard line. They'd run two run plays, a pass play, old school football. Now they got fourth and three, so they bring out their kicker, and he misses a 34-yarder. Like, every time. Every time.
He is.
It like, haunts me. So, anything. I love Shea Patterson. I thought he was awesome. So, he could really, especially in that league, he could really stand out.
He is Chris Vernon. Go to The Ringer and download and subscribe to his podcast, the NBA podcast during the basketball season, Ringer U podcast coming up, which is great in college football season. And make sure you subscribe to those right now at The Ringer. Verno, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, fellas, you too.
All right, buddy. At Chris Vernon Show on Twitter.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
Twitter as well.